stand because our text is from the gospel. So let's stand together for this reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 25. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up to them and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told about what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, maybe you can identify with how I felt that day. Sometimes just when your long-held dreams seem like they are on the verge of being fulfilled, everything just falls apart. What you had desired for such a long time and kept believing in suddenly all comes to nothing. Well, that's how I felt as I walked the road to Emmaus with my friend Cleopas. We discovered that we each had some business to do in Emmaus, a small village about 7 miles away from Jerusalem along a dusty, winding road. So we decided to go together. It was good to have a traveling companion to accompany me on a journey that, even with an early start, would probably take a good deal of the day. Jerusalem was, as always, busy and bustling. We were on foot, so we had to steer clear of carts and horses and swarming crowds of people. In the environs of the city, we had to be careful. If you weren't paying close attention, you might collide with an impatient fellow citizen, or maybe even step in something unpleasant. Despite the offense of recent days, everything just seemed to be going on exactly as before. But once we left Jerusalem behind us, we started making better time. Up until that point, we mostly kept our thoughts to ourselves. But now, out in the countryside, we could relax a little and try to make the best of the long journey ahead of us. There was a heaviness of spirit that had settled between us, and I think at first that we both tried to avoid thinking about the events that had transpired in the holy city during the last week. What a week it had been. So much had happened in a few short days. It all started on Sunday when Jesus of Nazareth had entered into Jerusalem with so much fanfare and generating so much excitement. As he traveled through the city, people had broken branches off the nearby palm trees and strewn them out on the ground before him. Some even took off their outer garments and tossed them in the dirt to honor his passing. Soon, a little parade had developed behind him. Jesus looked, frankly, a little awkward, perched there atop a donkey. But one couldn't help but think that he was making a statement by his choice of transportation. Behind him, many children were skipping along, laughing and giggling and loudly shouting, "Hosanna!" I had been part of that crowd. And as Jesus passed by me on his donkey, a long dormant hope arose within me. Could this be the promised one? Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the one who would finally help us break free from the yoke of the Romans? Like most of the others in the crowd that day, I had a hope and an expectation of a coming king, one who would free his people and set up a just and righteous kingdom centered in the holy city. And like most of the others, I had heard all the rumors about this Jesus fellow, how he had taught with clarity and passion and a sense of heavenly authority, which was unlike any other teacher any of us had ever heard. How with the touch of his hand he had brought sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and words to the lips of the mute. How he had stood up against the religious authorities who so often seemed more concerned about protecting their power and authority than about the needs of the people. He'd made his listeners smile a little with the devastating way that he spoke to these hypocrites. Jesus had spoken of a kingdom that had its source in heaven and which, when fully established, would change everything, making freedom, justice, and righteousness a reality for all God's people. Much of what he said, I admit, seemed a bit mysterious and hard to fathom. Some of the little stories he told seemed to enclose deeper truths than any of us could fully comprehend. But like his band of followers, most of us wondered and hoped and dreamed that he was the fulfillment of God's promise, a promise that before he appeared seemed so far out of reach. Yes, I believed, as did many others, that here at last was the one who would set everything in motion. He would be God's king right here on earth. Instead, that day of celebration of his entrance into the city was actually the beginning of the end. The authorities, both religious and secular, were concerned about what he was awakening within the people. They were too comfortable with the status quo to want changes made to a system that was quite comfortable for them. And they were too cynical and skeptical to believe that God was actually beginning to bring his kingdom to fulfillment through this man. So they worked to turn the people against Jesus, using fear and religious authority as weapons against him. Perhaps many, like me, began to wonder what would happen when they finally backed Jesus into a corner. Would that be the signal for him to act with power against his adversaries? He was arrested. We waited for something to happen. He was tried. We waited for him to rise and speak up against his critics. Then he was sentenced, forced to carry a cross through the city, and finally was nailed to it. A cross which was raised up high so that all could see and be reminded that it was best not to disturb or disrupt the system. As he hung there on the cross, some of us were still waiting. Would he call down a squadron of angels and step down off the cross as a conqueror? No. He just died. Then they put him into a tomb. End of story. Yes, I'd been caught up in all the excitement and had dared to believe. But then it all seemed to come to nothing. He had seemed different from any of the messianic pretenders who had arisen amongst us from time to time. But I guess maybe he wasn't. Cleophas and I had traveled quite a distance in silence, the dust churning up around our feet as we trudged along the road to Emmaus. And Cleophas let out a sigh. It was the kind of sigh that seemed to surface from the deepest part of his troubled soul. I glanced over at him and forced a sort of semi-smile onto my face. "Yeah," I said, "I know. This has been a rough week, hasn't it?" "Yes," he answered, "it has. Just when I thought I saw some hope on the horizon, now everything has just gone back to being like it was before." At first I struggled to put my own despair into words, but then slowly opened up to him about what I was feeling and the depth of my own sadness. A sadness which no words could encompass. Cleophas and I spent the next hour or so sharing what we had seen and experienced and felt during that recent week, rehearsing all the events that in retrospect just didn't seem to make much sense to us. Where was God in all of this? Why had this unfolded like it did? The road, in fact, seemed more deserted than usual. So I was keeping my eyes out for robbers and thieves who might be lingering along the path, awaiting an opportunity. That's why I was startled to discover that someone was, all of a sudden, walking alongside us. Where had he come from? I needn't have worried. He was clearly friendly and wanted to engage with us. In fact, he asked us what we were discussing as we walked along. "And why the long faces?" he asked. Cleophas and I both came to a stop at the same time. We hung our heads, glanced at each other, and then Cleophas spoke first. "Are you just a visitor to Jerusalem? Haven't you heard about all the things that have happened there in this past week?" "What things are you talking about?" asked the stranger. Between the two of us, we shared the story about Jesus of Nazareth, who had met such an unfortunate end. "But he was a prophet," I affirmed. "Yes," said Cleophas, "a man powerful in word and action." We told him of the crucifixion and that Jesus had been taken down from the cross and laid in a tomb. Then we shared with him the most puzzling part of the whole story. 3 days after his death, some of the women who had been his followers went to his tomb, but they found it empty. The body of Jesus was nowhere to be found. One of the women spoke of seeing a vision of an angel who had told them that Jesus was still alive. But how could that be? Was that just their wishful thinking, or was the depth of their grief causing a hallucination? Something like that? Then a stranger said, kindly but firmly, "How foolish you are. How slow of heart. Don't you understand what the prophets predicted? Didn't the Christ have to suffer all this before he entered into his glory? Wasn't this the fulfillment that the prophets had predicted?" And then as Cleophas and I listened, the stranger began to explain from the scriptures what the Messiah was really all about. Not the military or political leader that we'd been expecting. Not some sort of religious guru. No, the picture was much bigger than that. What he helped us to understand is that the whole message of the entire scriptures pointed toward the sacrifice that Jesus made upon the cross. That he was the key that unlocked the fullest understanding of the scriptures. That only through his death and then his resurrection had death been defeated and the darkness of our hearts been overcome. This, he explained, was God's redemptive story. The promise that the struggle and the defeat could lead to victory. That a conquest sometimes comes only through humility and sacrifice. That all that God had been doing down through the ages had come to fulfillment when Christ came as a human being, had lived and died, and then conquered sin and death. It wasn't just a matter of doing enough good works so that we could please God or keep his anger at bay. It was about God's love reaching down to the deepest places and the darkest places within our own being and into death itself and rescuing us through the power of his love and grace. That's the story the stranger unfolded for us as we walked the rest of those miles to Emmaus. I have to say, I was given a new way of thinking about how God works. Not through power and authority and coercion, but through humility and sacrifice and a love that is so large that we'll never be able to fully understand it. As we drew near Emmaus, Cleophas and I wanted to hear more, obviously. The stranger seemed intent on continuing on past Emmaus, but as we'd enjoyed the engagement with this mysterious companion, and since the sun would soon be right, would be setting, we invited him to come and stay with us. He agreed to do so. When we arrived at the house where we were going to be staying, we were hungry. It had been some time since we'd eaten. So we gathered around the table for a simple meal. The stranger took charge of the moment and lifted a round loaf of bread into the air. He said a blessing over it, then broke it into three portions and gave each of us a piece. At that moment, sometime between the moment of blessing and when I reached out to take the bread, my eyes were opened. Suddenly, I understood who this stranger was. It was a recognition that seemed to come from the depths of my being. This was Jesus himself, the one who had been crucified and buried. He was alive, just as the women had said. And he was here now with us, not a mystical ghost, but a living and breathing human being. The one who had walked alongside us was the risen Christ, whom the whole narrative of scriptures had been pointing toward. I started to speak to let him know that I had finally recognized who he was, but it was too late. He was gone. He simply disappeared. Cleophas was as startled as me. We sat in stunned silence for a few moments. Then we broke out in a mighty laugh. Cleophas placed the bread down on his plate and stared at it. Well, that explains a lot. Yes, it did. No wonder our hearts had felt so full and our ears had been so hungry to hear more as he spoke with us. There had been a sensation like burning, an inexplicable warmth in our hearts as he opened up the scriptures. We had to let the others know, and in good time we did. But first we cherished that experience we'd had with Jesus Christ. Here's what I've learned from that miraculous event along the Emmaus Road. First, that Jesus Christ is a central figure in the story of what God is up to in history. He's absolutely central to understanding God's plan and God's purposes. Only as we listen to him and read the scriptures through the lens of his love and grace will we be able to make sense out of our lives. For God's ways are not the same as human ways. He uses different means than we expect, or maybe even than what we long for. After this experience, I'll always be more careful about thinking that I have God figured out. Out there on the road to Emmaus, I'd learned that I can't depend on what I'd been taught by my religion. I can only depend upon Jesus. Second, I discovered that God often arrives in my life in unexpected ways and through unexpected situations and places and people. Though sometimes almost incognito, Jesus is there with me as I go about my business. His presence is with me even when I can't see it or recognize it. He is present in the unexpected stranger, the unplanned journey, and the unrealized longings of my heart. Sometimes in a moment of epiphany, like what we experienced, his presence will be seen and felt for some precious moments, coming to me as though out of the blue. Maybe it will happen again with the breaking of bread. Maybe it will come when other things get broken in my life. When such an epiphany comes, I will cherish it. But I will remember that sometimes, maybe most times, his presence is more elusive. That God has hidden himself in the midst of all the activities of my life, and that I don't recognize him or what he is doing. I'm often not paying close attention, and I can easily miss what he is really up to, what is really happening in my life. Often he comes when I least expect it. When I am not feeling particularly religious or particularly holy, when I am confused, puzzled, or in despair, I might not immediately recognize him in those moments, but he is there. He is walking alongside me on that dusty path called life. He is the companion who helps me make sense of my journey. Therefore, I can rest assured in this truth. No matter where I am walking, I never, never, never walk alone.